Father, I thank you, Lord, and I give you glory and honor this morning and afternoon and indeed the entire day. We praise your name. We thank you for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and we are safe. We thank you, Lord, because you are the King over our lives. You're also the High Priest over the house of God. We honor you and we praise you. Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that fights our battles, the one that parted the Red Sea. We know that with you, Lord, there shall nothing be impossible. Glory to God. Now, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding even to those whose hearts are simple and open before you. Now speak, O Lord, for your children are listening. Glory to God. And glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Today, we are fixing to slay a few giants. Hallelujah. I give you the pattern of how to slay giants. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There may be giants in your way. We are going to, you know, let's slay a few of them this morning and put into your hands the power to do the same. Praise the Lord. You know, David was a man that learned how to move from victory to victory. He had a testimony over the lion. He had a testimony over the bear. And then when he was faced with a giant, Goliath, well, he had something to draw upon. Let's consider the story of David as we enter this day three of our consecration. And it's the last day for this particular consecration weekend. Let's see what the Lord will do. He did say, the first and second day, he said, I do cures and work miracles. And on the third day, I will be perfected. So let's see what the Lord will do for us today. There is a story that is well known about just about everyone that ever went to Sunday school or anything like that. Even similar, went to church, they've heard this story. Story of David versus Goliath. But that's not all that is in that story. So, today, let's take a deeper dive and look at what led, things that happened leading up to that. Praise the Lord. We pick up this story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see that David was the son of a man called Jesse, who had 8 sons, we're told. So let's pick up this story from verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of those 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest of the 8. Now, the 3 elders followed Saul, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine, this man was called a giant, drew near. Now, I'm going to go back and tell you about this giant. So let's go back to the beginning. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, that's in verse 4, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I mean, this guy, he was large and he was big. Huh. And, in the measurement of cubits, the dictionary defines cubits as 1.5 feet. You know, so this guy, you know, was really large because he had, you know, a stature that was imposing. It was an imposing stature. And he was the champion of the, armies of the Philistines. If you take 6 cubits and multiply that by 1.5, you're looking at 9 feet. You know, so this guy was really huge. And on top of that, there was a little bit more, and a span means it was 9 feet and some. And he was really big. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of nail. I mean, you can't penetrate. The weight of the coat was like 5,000 shekels of brass. I mean, the weight of his coat alone. And, you know, he had greaves of brass upon his legs, target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head with 600 shekels of iron. I mean, the scriptures take time to describe this Goliath and how he was clad with all kinds of armor, impenetrable. You know, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a single Philistine? And ye all are servants of Saul? Well, but choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Let us play. And if he be able to fight to me, with me, and to kill me, then we will all be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye all shall be our servants and serve us. I mean, let's just choose one man. Why should all the two armies need to fight? Just take one man. I'm also one man. Pick one man. This man, he knew. I mean, in fact, his legend was that he had utterly destroyed and prevailed against so many. There was no one that could stand before him. And so that was his legend. And, you know, the Lord is telling us here, taking time through these scriptures to describe to us how massive this man was and how imposing, how dreadful he was too. And he made this challenge, you know, against the children of Israel and their army. He said, well, you know, say, look, let this man come out that you would choose. Let him fight against me, I against him. No need for two armies to fight. Whoever wins, well, we declare their side a winner, and the other side will be their servants. And so he stood every day and said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all this Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So now we go back to the introduction of David and his brothers that were in Saul's army. So three of them, you know, were there and David was not. So we jump to verse 17. And Jesse, the father of these 8 men, said unto David his son, now take for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn, and take 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. Look how your brethren are doing. Take their pledge and come back. Their pledge means take something from them that's going to tell me that they are alive. And I'm expecting they come back to me. Well, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. But I dare say they were just positioned to fight. Nobody actually was fighting, you know. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as his father Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight. And they shouted for the battle, but nobody actually stepped up yet. Now for Israel and Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the camp and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words and the same manner that he spoke before. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man Goliath, they fled from him, and they were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. He'll give him even his daughter and make his father's house free. He'll never pay any more taxes. Say, wow. So David spake to the man that stood by, saying, What is it that I hear that you are saying? At this time, David wasn't even concerned about, you know, the size of the man. He just said, well, what is the reward? What is it that I hear that you say that we've done to the man that killeth this Goliath and taketh away this reproach? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, I want you to notice, as we begin to break down this story right here, David is going to approach this in the spiritual. Everyone else, including Goliath, said he has come to defy the armies of Israel. David said this man had come to defy the armies of the living God. So in his mind, he's already moving into the spiritual zone or realm for this battle. This man had come against the Lord. You can't, you know, nobody can win in that scenario. You can't fight against the Lord and win. Now, if you see the situations around you as against you only, then you might have an uphill battle on your hands. But if you see that seemingly insurmountable mountain as having come against the Lord, well, you have a better chance of victory. But then the Lord will step in and fight for you. So David, he saw that this was an assault against the name of the Lord, not just Israel. And so he said, well, this affront that this man coming to do today, well, what's going to be done to the man that takes him out? And David was only a teenager at this point. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, well, so shall it be done to the man that killeth this man. So, you know, he asked somebody else, you know, he said the same. And he was going around asking. Now, in the meantime, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard that David was going around and asking people about this thing. So he comes to David and said, you know, what is it that you are doing? Why did you come out here? You know, and with whom have you left those sheep that are in the wilderness? I know your pride. You come here and I know the naughtiness of your heart. You come out to spy out, you know, the battle. And David said, what have I now done? I don't see any battle. All I see is people cowering in the corners. I see no battle. And his brother was trying to chastise him. He moved away from the brother. He said, I don't see any fight going on. You know, all I see, you guys are here in the corner afraid. That's all I hear. And I hear somebody here, you know, blaspheming against God. That's all I see. I don't see anybody standing up to him. And he went and talked to somebody else. And the brother said, go home. You don't belong here. And he said, well, I, you know, that's what you think. I don't see you doing anything either. You know, so he goes around, talks to some more. You know, finally, you know, Saul hears that there's somebody here that's stirring up some noise in the camp. I mean, he's going around saying this and that and so on. So, you know, they rehearsed these words before Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, you know, because Saul says, who are you? I mean, what is this thing? Why are you coming here? I mean, you're just a kid. You know, and David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. At that point, I guarantee you, Saul's jaw dropped because, I mean, Saul himself was a man of war. I mean, Eliab and Shammah and, you know, Abinadab and all of them, they were all men of war. But none of them could stand up to this 9 feet tall man. I mean, because he was awesome and he had all this ammo and so on around him and everybody was scared of him. And they had heard his legend, how he had smote everybody, come up against the Philistines, you know. And in hand-to-hand combat, there was none like him, you know. So David stood before Saul and Saul says to David, you're just a kid. You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. He's a man of war and you're just a kid. And as you get to say, David said, listen, I may look like a kid, but I guarantee you, I have some experience in battle. So, you know, he, at this point in time, he's drawn the attention of the king. The king says, well, your experience, you've never been in the camp here. I know everybody that's in the army. You're not one of them. So, well, I was fighting in a different arena. Now, you guys go out here with swords and things and fight these other battles. Well, I had a few fights of my own. I may not be in the army, but I'll tell you what. Well, I was keeping my father's sheep in the wilderness. There were some incidents that happened where I had to defend the sheep. A lion one day came and took one of the kids from the flock while I wasn't looking. But when I realized what happened, I went after the lion. You did what? You went after the lion? I said, I sure did. And I got these scars to prove it. You know, showed him a few scars. But well, what happened? Well, I went up against the lion and got in hand-to-hand combat against that lion, and I delivered the kick out of his mouth. So, you know, the man Saul, the king at that time, is thinking, what manner of thing is this? A young boy fight a lion? Well, if this thing is true, well, you know, well, just, you know, the king is wondering. And David said, well, that's not all. After the lion, there was another incident that a bear came and took something from the flock. I also went after him because nobody is taking anything from the flock on my watch. And he said, King, I tell you, you know, you may think that this Goliath is big, but when that bear rose up against me and pounded his chest like that, or just as big, perhaps even bigger than this man that you see out in the field, I can take him because the Lord gave me the victory over the lion, and the Lord gave me the victory over this bear, and I'm prepared for this day. I have been in a fight with somebody as big or something as big as this Goliath, and it was the bear. Oh, my goodness. So the king said, well, I don't know. You are really a brave man, but I think this mission is suicidal. But here, you know, take my armor, take my shield, take my spear, take my helmet, take all of these things. And he tried to put them on. They put them on and said, hey, he calls one of the guards out there, hey, put these things on the young man. So they put it on him. And David just fell down. Yeah, it was too heavy for him. All this stuff, you know. It's not, I don't, you know, get these things off of me. I can't go in these things, but I'm going to go to a place where I'm comfortable. Hallelujah. I said, give me a little time. I'm going to go do something. I'll come back. I'll be ready. So I said, okay, so that, I mean, the king is just wondering, what manner of kid is this? I mean, who can go against this Goliath? I even can't do it. None of my captains can do it. So he's waiting. So David runs away, goes to the brook. He remembers the place. Hallelujah. The place where he has seen the goodness of the Lord. He remembered where he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, you know, and so forth. Leads me beside the still waters. So he goes back to those still waters. And he talks to the Lord a little bit. And the Lord showed him 5 smooth stones. He said, want to pick one? Say, uh-uh, not that one. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one. So he picked a few of those stones. There's one in particular that the Lord directed him to. And he picked it. You say, how the Lord do that? The Lord actually do that? Well, absolutely. This is the same God that used to cause the Urim and Tumim to shine. Where they were, the priests would wear those bread plates, and they had these stones in them. And when they would inquire of the Lord, should we go and should we not go? You know, David wasn't doing that at that time, but the Lord was already using that method among priests and stuff like that. And, you know, the light of the Lord would light up one of those stones in a particular way. And then they would know that the answer was yes or no, the way the light would light. And so the light lit on those stones. And David saw the stones he needed to pick, and one in particular. And he picked it and put it in his pouch. He got his sling and everything, you know, and went back to the king. Said, I'm ready. And the king looked at him. You know, what are you going with him against? With? Well, he said, well, the Lord showed me what to do. Said, you're going to go out with this against this man? You know, cause a few folks around him and say, well, let's pray for him. The Lord be with you. You know, those Jews, they always like to say, the Lord be with you. He said, well, the Lord be with you. And, you know, so it's quiet everywhere because everybody already heard that he's a kid in the camp that's going up against Goliath. And so David steps out of the shadows, steps out in the valley, you know, and the Philistines, they see someone coming, they blow the trumpet. You know, I mean, the Jews, the Israel camp, they're even afraid to blow the trumpet because they don't know that this guy is going to really be a worthy champion. It's just a kid. Everybody's hands are in their, over their mouth, their hearts are in their mouth. It's just, what in the world is this? But David, on the other hand, he's got his sling. He's got his pouch. He's got the Lord. He's walking. Come on, David. David's going. And Goliath comes out. They say, hey, they've sent a champion. And so Goliath, he stares himself up. All right. Oh, cool. I'm going to end this thing today. He goes out and then he looks up and say, you know, he's trying to check his eyes. You know, something wrong with my eyes here because he see David coming. He looks like a kid. I mean, he's expecting, you know, somebody really big and somebody clad with armor and something that he can really fight. And he's looking at, he gets a little closer. He's wiping, trying to wipe his eyes. So there's this little gap you know, on his helmet and everything, where his eyes are. He's trying to, am I seeing clearly? Wipe his eyes, you know, looking. So, and then he says, are you kidding? Because David's coming with a staff. And he's coming with, his, you know, he has his shepherd rod and everything. And he has his sling and everything, his pouch. He's coming. And Goliath is looking. And Goliath even has a man with him that's bearing his shield and armor and spear and everything. I said, are you kidding? So let's see the exchange. Let's see the exchange of what happened. And the Philistine came and drew near to David. David himself drew near. He had a sling in his hand. He had his shepherd's bag. And he had even a scrip. Yeah, you know, all these things. And when the Goliath, he saw David, and the Goliath, he drew nigh, there was someone even bearing his shield before him. The Goliath looked and saw David and disdained him. It's like, what's this about the youth? And a fair countenance. What is this? So the Philistine shouts out to David and says, am I a dog that thou should come up against me with staves? And the Philistine, he cursed David by his gods. I'm going to kill him today. And David said, you know, Philistine said to David, come to me. I'll give your flesh to the fowls. Nothing. Finish it up. I'm not even going to waste my time. Be done with this thing in a few minutes, a few seconds. You know. And David remembered what this man said. Am I a dog? And said, well, you said it. You said it. And, David, you know, pull his chest out and say, you know, well, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. In the meantime, you know, the man's just looking at him. So, but I come to you. See, this is the thing. You know, in the face of Goliath, David is going to give even his testimony of the confidence that he has. Even in the face of the giant. He's, number one, he's not backing down. And number two, he's going to speak the name of the Lord. You can learn a few things from this. He goes up against Goliath and says, well, you come up against me with this spear and sword and shield and all this stuff, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, sir, even the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. See, he's still calling upon the name of the Lord, and he's fighting for the Lord now, and he knows the Lord will fight for him. He remembers the lion, and at this time, actually, David is thinking of Goliath. And he's thinking of the bear. He said, well, I've seen this before. I mean, that bear, when he rose up with me and pounded his chest, was just as big as this man. The Lord had prepared me for this moment. You know, and he was drawing from the previous victories. The Lord, I went hand to, nobody ever fought the lion. David didn't remember they did, but he did it. And he said, well, you know, I went out against the lion. How do you take a prey from the lion's mouth? You can't do it. But I did, because the Lord was with me. And he's thinking, and those moments are flashing before him, and especially that bear, when he rose up against him and pounded his chest like that. He looked just like Goliath. And he said, I've seen this before, you know. And he said to him, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And he's going to tell him what he's going to do. And I will smite him. He's not even, you know, saying anything as if he's not sure. It's confidence of declaring it, you know. And he's in the face of Goliath. He's not praying at this time. He's just telling him. Speaking the word. That's what he's doing at this time. I am going to smite thee. I am going to take the head from thee. And I'm going to give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and so forth. You will know that there is a God in Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you come up against those giants that are, you know, in your way. The giants that you are facing. And what might it be? Well, you know, It could be a situation, you know, where doctors say, you can't do that. Cancer, evil report. What is that giant that you are facing today? Doctors are writing you an evil report. Doctors give up on your situation. Chronic things and different things. What giants are you facing today? Well, you come against the giant in the name of the Lord that David did. And you prophesy in the face of the giant. You speak to that giant. You know, and David is fixing to slay yet another giant. He's slain one before. You know, there was a lion. The lion oversized and in terms of strength overpowered David. But David got the victory. The bear, in terms of size, completely dwarfed David. But yet, David got the victory. So he knows in his heart. See, I'm on a roll here. The same God that gave me victory over the lion and gave me victory over the bear, well, today, he's with me. Ha! Hallelujah. So he says to this man, I'm going to finish you off today, and you will know. All the earth may know. See, this is the secret. The secret of the victory against those giants is for you to make it about God getting the glory. That's it. I'm going to say that again. The secret of your victory against the giant that's oppressing you right now is for you to make it about God getting the glory. That's it. If you can make it about God getting the glory, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And the Lord, see, there's certain things that get God going. Those are one of those things. When you make it about God's fight, everybody else said armies of Israel. David said the armies of the living God. You know, so that's a big difference, the way he's approaching this thing. And he comes to this man and said, today, the Lord will give us the victory over you, for the battle is the Lord's. He said, all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword, not with spear, not with surgery, not with this and that, you know. The Lord can save without these things. Glory to God. Say, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give. Can you imagine a 17-year-old or whatever standing there speaking to this man who was renowned all over the land to have vanquished anybody that stood before him, saying these things? I mean, he was exposed, you would think. People are thinking, there's no covering. But no, David had the glory of the Lord around him. He knew it. I mean, he's the same man that written and said, you know, he wrote this later on and said, the Lord is my shield, is my fortress, my buckler. Because, you know, when I went up against Goliath, he was right there, shielded me. And he wrote those things later on. So, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose. I mean, he was stirred up, you know. The way to stir up the devil even more is to use the name of the Lord. You know, you can get the devil really riled up, you know, when you talk to him in the name of the Lord. He will be angry, furious. Get up! Yeah, but he's coming to his doom. Hallelujah. So the man, he arose, he was angry, and he was like, look, I am going to, what is this? He ran toward the army. And David also ran toward the man. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone. There was one particular stone. The glory of the Lord was upon it. And he took it. Woo-hoo! I mean, what are the chances, ladies and gentlemen, what are the chances that David, with a stone and sling, catapult, or whatever we call it in those parts of the world. What are the chances that there's no part in this man's armor to hit? There was just this little space. that he had, you know, between his eyes. I mean, the, you know, that's because they couldn't cover everything up. So across his eyes, like that, kind of like a visor, the space that it would be for the visor, he put, they, you know, that place was open. That's the only place that was open. It's the only place. Everything else was plaid up. And, you know, David put his stone, swung that thing. He's done that before in the wilderness. Glory to God. And he, you know, and as he, you know, he didn't really have to take serious aim because the arrow of the Lord was upon that stone, was guided. But David is fighting for the Lord now, and the Lord is going to fight the battle. David said himself, the battle is the Lord's. And so the arrow of the Lord, you might so call it, that stone became that arrow. He went straight and found that opening in that man's armor, right between his eyes. Bullseye, you might call it. Straight there. And he went between his eyes. That was the only place vulnerable in this man. What are the chances that David could hit that thing? 100%. Because the Lord guided that thing straight there, hit this man right between the eyes. And you know, there was something else behind that stone too. The stone of Israel. He went, he put a force, a spiritual force, the velocity of that throne. It hit this man. You know, it was more than what David did, but David had to do it. And the Lord pushed that thing. Hit this man with a force. It was an incredible force. And he hit the man. And the man just fell down. Meanwhile, you know, when the fight ensued, remember, you know, the Philistine left his armor bearer behind and ran towards David. David ran towards him as well. There was no help for the Philistine. And David ran upon him quickly. Because all that David had in his hand was just the staff, the rod, and his sling and his shoulder and everything. When he saw that this man was falling, I mean, at that time, everybody standing up that's looking, you know, behind the heels. So what's going on here? David ran up to this man. His sword was in his hand. David tried to grab that sword. He really couldn't. He had to put away his staff and use two hands. Pick up that thing. Yanked off the helmet from this guy's head. Lifted up. Meanwhile, the man's gone. He's unconscious because of the force of the angel of the Lord that pushed that stone, put the arrow of the Lord on it too. Hit that man like that, fell down, knocked him out. And David quickly, before the man could regain consciousness, went over there, yanked up his helmet, grabbed his sword, one hand at first, couldn't do it, grabbed it with two hands, because the thing was heavy, lifted up, and the Lord strengthened him at that moment to lift up that sword, lifted it up, came crashing down the neck of this Goliath, precisely aimed. Cut off his head! Woo-hoo. My goodness, at that time, he was ready to lift up the head, put it up to the Lord. The Philistines, everybody fled, seeing that their champion was killed. In the meantime, the camp of the Jews or the Israel over there, they're shouting, everybody's screaming, everybody's shouting, you know, everybody's shouting, Yahweh, he is God, Yahweh, he is God, David, you have done a great thing. Everybody's shouting, they're running, you know, and the Philistines, they're running away. And everybody saw the victory of the Lord that day. Well, I'll tell you, there were a group of people that also faced giants that thought of themselves as grasshoppers before the giants that they faced. The story in Numbers chapter 14. And where the people said, we can't do it. You might remember the story of, it's, you know, you read Numbers 13, where they were sent out, the spies, the spy of the land. And 10 spies came back and said, We can't do it. There's giants in the land. We cannot do it. You know. But there was a couple of people that said, we can slay those giants. And nothing. Praise God. You know. So what is your posture? Are you of the same confidence of David and Caleb and Joshua? You know, let's see how they also said it concerning the giants. They didn't get a chance to face the giants at that time because the rest of the people wouldn't let them do it. However, they did, you know, confess their confidence. That's what they said. And everybody else said, we can't do it. Just get us a captain and let's go back to Egypt. We can't do this. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who are the men that searched out the land. This is Numbers 14, you know, and verse 6. They rent their clothes, you know, when the people said, oh, you know, I mean, those other guys said, these are, there are giants in the land. We ourselves are like grasshoppers, you know, in our sight. The land is inhabitants, too many giants. We can't do it. We can't take the victory. Whereas the Lord said, you can do it. And they supposed to say, we can't do it. So they said, well, so Joshua responded with Caleb and said, the land which we have passed through to search is an exceeding good land. And the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, even as he has promised. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, nor the giants that are in the land. We can slay them. The slaying of a giant. Hallelujah. Some giants that we need to slay today. These people said, look, they are bread for us. Now, this is where that expression came from. We'll have them for lunch. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. How did they know that? They're speaking by faith. You know, and the Lord is with us, not with them. Don't you be afraid of them, they said. But all the congregation said, you know, kill these people. They're trying to kill us by sending us into a place where we have no chance against those giants. See, now, people's posture, your posture today could be, I have no chance against what the doctor has said. You know, I have no chance against medical science. There's these giants. Or you could be like David. I said, I call to mind today, I remember how the Lord took me in hand-to-hand combat against the lion. A fierce lion. You try to take the prey out of the lion's hand and see what will happen. You know. And in those days, after David came back with the fight of the lion, came home, he said, where'd you get those scars? Well, and told him, brothers, of course, they didn't believe. And said, well, and David said, well, you should have seen the other guy. David had this little thing. It's called a shepherd's knife. It's like a stiletto thing. Very, very sharp. One day I was thinking and looking. I was like, I was in a trance and I saw this thing, a fight between David and the lion. My goodness. Yeah. I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but that's what played before my eyes. He took that thing. You know, this lion had his big mane and everything. Grabbed him there, stuck that knife under his jaw like this. My goodness. You know. And, of course, he came away with a few scratches, but he got the victory. And he knew that after that one, in fact, his confidence was pumped up. By the time the bear did the same, you know, the lion couldn't take one of mine. Neither will you be able to. See, David had to defend his territory. No one is taking anything from me. No sickness, no diagnosis is taking your health from you. Hallelujah. Whatever the doctor has told you that you cannot do, no situation is going to take that from you. You've got to know that the Lord is with you. You make it God's fight. There was another man that knew how to make it God's fight. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah, I want to read to you some portion of Hezekiah's prayers, you know, when Sennacherib sent to chide them and to tell them that, look, you need to give up. Our armies will obliterate you if you don't. However, if you do surrender, we'll give you 2,000 chariots and horses and so on, if you can set men upon them. But, you know, before you say otherwise, let me remind you, he told them, that we have laid waste all the kingdoms that tried to, you know, contend against us. We've laid them waste. You know, and we cast all their gods and everything. And Rabshakeh, Sennacherib, everyone, they just made a threat. He said, listen to this, in Isaiah 36 and verse 4, Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus said the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein you trust? You know, I say, you say, but they are vain words. We have counsel and we have strength for war. Now, on whom dost thou trust that thou will rebel against me? You know, listen, if you trust in the staff of this broken reed and Egypt, is this not the one that will double cross you? He said, if you lean on it, it will pierce your hand. Yeah, that's how Pharaoh is. He told them, Pharaoh can't help you if that's what you think. You know, it's a double crosser. Now, but if you say that the Lord will help us, I mean, this is exactly the devil. You think the Lord will help you? No. Is this not the whose high places Hezekiah had taken down, you know, and say you worship over here? And, you know, I mean, Hezekiah destroyed the high places of the Lord. So why should the Lord help you? I mean, told him everything. You know, he said, look, we will set horses, thousands, 2,000 horses for you. If you can set riders upon them, that's up to you. But today, you know, if you agree and turn not your face away from one of the captain of the list of my servants, and we will help you. But if you say anything, we're going to destroy you. And he reminded him and said, you know, that look, all these nations, we've destroyed them. And the people are telling, you know, we pray you don't speak to us in the Jews' language because we don't want them to hear what you're saying. You know, that's why they watch us on the wall and say, well, you know, just speak to us in your language. We understand it. And the people, this man said, speak in my language. No, have I not come here to make you drink your own spit? I mean, your own peace and everything. Say no. He spoke louder, even in the Jews' language. And, you know, just your dung you are going to eat today. And I'm going to come here to shame you, he said. And he cried aloud in the voice of the Jews' language, hear the words of the great king of Assyria. Thus said the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you and say that he can deliver you. And so on and so forth. You know, he said, look, all the nations of the, you know, these places that have come up against us, with cast their gods into the fire and done all these things. And, we, you know, who is it then that can deliver out of the hand of the king of Assyria? We've destroyed all these nations. Who is it then that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Now, okay, that was their first mistake. The moment you go up against the Lord like that, that's your first mistake. You know, you call out the Lord like that. that's your first mistake. So everybody held their peace. Meanwhile, they came and told it to Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah heard the words of Rabshakeh, which Sennacherib had sent him to rebuke and chide the children of Israel, well, he went and rent his clothes, put ashes on his head, went into the house of the Lord, and he prayed and said, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. Because the children are come to the birth. It's no strength to bring them forth. Maybe that the Lord, you know, say, well, you know, let's send to the priest and see if they will send to the prophet, see if they will pray. Meanwhile, he said, look, send to Isaiah and so, and see what will pray for us. So the Lord, he sent a word to him and said, well, don't be afraid. The Lord will do this and that. The Lord will, you know, fight for you and so on. But let's skip through this quickly because of time and go to the prayer that Hezekiah prayed, you know, when they received even a letter that said, look, surrender, this is your last chance. They took that letter to the house of the Lord and he prayed like this. So let's read Hezekiah's prayer. This is the part that I want to bring out in verse 15 of Isaiah 37. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth that hast made heaven and earth. And so you come to the Lord like that and tell him how great he is. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. So, Hezekiah is going to make it God's fight. Of a truth, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but they were the works of men's hands. And they were stone and wood and so forth. Therefore, they have destroyed them. But now, O Lord, our God, listen to this. O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth, it's exactly the same prayer of David, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Now, Hezekiah did not say, save us, O Lord, from his hand, you know, that our nation be not destroyed, that our lands be not destroyed, that our wives be not become widows, that our children not become fatherless. He didn't say all those things. That would happen anyway, but he didn't say all those things. He said it in the way that he made it God's fight. Save us, O God, from this giant and these people that are against us, that all the earth may know that there is no God like you. See, that's how you make it God's fight. That's how David did it. That's how Hezekiah did it. He learned it from the best. And he said, look, and the Lord stirred up. And of course, you know, at the end of it, the story, if you read it finally, the Lord would send an angel. You know, finally, the Lord will send the angel of the Lord in verse 36. And went in the camp of Syrians and smote 185,000 in just one night. Because this man, Hezekiah, dared to believe and made it God's fight. And that's how you do it. That's how you slay the giants. Ladies and gentlemen, let's slay a few giants today and take this as your tool set in how to slay the giants. You know, first, you got to come against the giants in the name of the Lord. You know, whatever is being said against you, whatever the situation is, health, otherwise, job or what have you, anything doctor said cannot be done. Whatever it is, you come up against that situation in the name of the Lord. And you remember, there is not a person in this place today, there's not any one of us in here today, that the Lord had not given you victory over some situation in the past that you thought could not be done. God already did it. So you call to remembrance that. You remember how the Lord had delivered you from the paw of the lion. You know, the lion's mouth or the paw of the bear and the hand of the bear. What was that lion that the Lord delivered you from? He done it. What was the bear that he delivered you from? Well, here comes another giant. So what? The same God that delivered you from the lion and the bear. He will slay this giant for you. But you got to come up in the name of the Lord. You got to come up against that giant. You got to speak directly to that giant. Just like David did. David came and spoke directly to him and said, well, you come against us with spears and shields and swords and these things and so forth. But the Lord doesn't need swords and spears. I come against you in the name of the Lord. You come against that circumstance and that situation. And you speak directly to it. That's right. There's an infirmity in your body. There's something in your body that's not right. You speak directly to it. There's something in your life that's not right. You speak directly to it in the name of the Lord. There's something in your finances, something in your situation, something in the family, something anywhere. Any giants that are in the land that are trying to hinder your passage. Remember, we talked about gates that try to hold you back, bars that keep you jammed in, you know, hold you behind bars and everything. I mean, Sammy said, the Lord delivered them from those who are too strong for me. Well, what are those situations that are too strong for you? Well, let's engage in the slaying of a giant today. Hallelujah. The Lord has slain the lion. The Lord has slain the bear. He also will slay this Goliath or this giant that is in your way today. Now that's our lesson today. And I am going to pray over the room and empower that the Lord will empower you with this understanding. That's right. It's not a one day thing. It's not just today in the room. You know, you're going to do it in this room and you're going to go away and do it every day. Whenever you face any situation that's like a giant, hallelujah. It's a parable the Lord showed me one time. It was like, you know, when you stand underneath a mountain, you know, because of the trajectory, the line of sight, it's very hard to see the top of the mountain, right? And the mountain looks like it's completely overwhelming. I mean, you're just this little thing in front of this mountain. So how do you, I mean, this mountain, you're completely, it's like you're completely overwhelmed. So it's such a mountain, you're just a little thing. But then the Lord says, well, stand back. You stand back and you didn't stand back far enough. Say, stand back some more. You go back far enough that you can now see, you now have a line of sight that you can see the top of that mountain. If you're too close to the bottom of it, you can't see that top. And you stand back far enough, you can see the top of that mountain. And oh my goodness, what do you see now? You know, the sight that you see cannot even be described. Because the mountain that was so huge and so overwhelming to you when we are at the bottom of that mountain and you couldn't see the top, now that you stood far back enough to see the gradient and the line of sight, can now see the top of that mountain, what do you see? You see this colossal figure. I mean, the guy, this figure, he's standing astride the mountain. There's 1 foot on this side, 1 foot, I mean, one leg on this side, one leg on that side, and like the mountain is in between his legs, and it completely dwarfs that mountain. The mountain that you thought was insurmountable, when you stand back far enough and you see and look, and he'll show you too, you'll see how the Lord of the mountain completely dwarfs that mountain. That's right. One time, Elisha said to his servants, and so actually said to the Lord, first, he told his servants, they that are with us have more. And so he said, I don't see anything here but me, you, and these donkeys. The Lord opened his eyes, Lord, he said. And when the Lord opened the eyes, he saw chariots of fire on the mountain. Hallelujah. The Lord fights from a vantage position, never from the bottom of the mountain looking up. No, that's you. The Lord is looking down. On that mountain. 1 foot over that mountain, the whole thing will come crushing down. crashing down. Lord, do that. But we put in your hands this day in the name of the Lord, you know, the tools for you to go up against those Goliaths, to speak directly to the Goliath and recount the victories of the past, the present conflict as you go up against it, the victories that the Lord gave you in previous fights will give you courage if you know how to use it and you come up against that thing in the name of the Lord. And don't try to make it about you. Don't even try to worry about, you know, the shame and the disgrace that you may have. Make it God's fight. Say, Lord, that the people may know, and tell the doctors, tell everybody, tell that Goliath, tell that situation, you know, that this is a fight for the Lord. The battle is the Lord's, and he will fight for his own name. And when you make it God's fight, God will stand up, fight for his name. One night, 185,000 of his enemies destroyed because Hezekiah made it God's fight. I'm going to pray against certain giants in your life today. But I want you also to speak directly to those giants in the name of the Lord. I'm going to pray first, and then you will do it. And today being day 3 of our 3-day consecration, ought not the Lord to do this thing that he said that he would do? Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is the way that the Lord would do it. He said, go ye in Luke 13 and verse 32. Go ye and tell that fox, that old devil in Herod. Because, you know, they were telling him that Herod's going to kill you. You know, this situation is going to kill you. You can't survive. You're going to die. And whatever it is, well, the Lord said, go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out devils and do miracles today and tomorrow and on the third day. Hallelujah. And we're in this third day, say perfection comes. Praise the Lord. Now, there is significance of times and seasons in God's hand. Some people don't know that. They think that it's just numerology and so on. No, the significance of everything. You know, so the sons of Issachar, they understood the significance of the times. And they knew what Israel should do because they understand. You know, they understood. So may you also understand the significance in times and seasons in God's hands. Praise the Lord. And on this third day of this convocation or consecration, the Lord's going to give you the victory. Because perfection comes on that third day. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children that have been in the house today to listen to the word of the Lord. We have spoken and delivered your word as you gave charge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now, O Lord, I pray that there be an element of faith stirred up in the hearts of your people to believe the Lord, that the power of the Lord that is in their mouth is able to slay the giant that is in front of them. Glory to God. And all those giants are coming crashing down. Just like the lion was defeated, the bear was defeated. This Goliath in like manner will be defeated. And we have the privilege now to read back and see that Goliath was actually defeated. And so, Lord, we thank you. And what are those Goliaths, Lord, that face your children? You know, doctors say you can't do this, you can't do that. You're going to die or this and that. Well, you're not going to die. Doctor says it's a situation that's permanent. Well, you can't help you. You can only do this and that. Manage your pain, this and that. Well, that's what they think. They think that because they don't know the power of the Lord like you do. David said in Psalm 44, I'm going to read a couple of things to you as part of this prayer. And it's part of this lesson as well. In Psalm 44, here's what David said. How that he knew God gave him the victory all the time and also gave people victory all the time. The Lord gave the people victory. The Lord gave David victory. He said, they got not the land in possession by their own sword. neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, thy right arm, and the light of thy countenance, because you had a favor, see, unto them. Well, talking about the children of Israel, but also these things happen in his life also. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for your children. Through thee, we will push down our enemies and those giants that are in front of you. You know, through the name of the Lord, we will tread down every giant that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither will my sword save me. It's not the power of surgery. It's not this and that and so forth. But he said, the Lord has saved us from our enemies, and he has put them to shame that hated us. And in God will we boast all day long. Can you boast in the Lord? Yeah. You know, David boasted in front of Goliath. And that was the downfall of Goliath. Because David had confidence in the name of the Lord. We'll praise your name forever and ever. In the book of Psalm 60, listen to what David said. Praise the Lord. And he had confidence in the Lord. Had confidence in his God. And he always, you know, his confidence was always present. When he spoke in verse 12 of Psalm 60, David said, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies, even these giants that seem, you know, unconquerable or insurmountable. The Lord will tread them down for us. Psalm 108. And verse 13, arm yourselves. I said to you, I'm going to give you the tools to arm yourself. Arm yourself with these tools to go up against these giants, you know, that come up against you. Number one, remember what God had done in the past. Number two, speak confidently to the giant directly. Hallelujah. Not even back down at all. Praise the Lord. Psalm 108. And verse 13, he said exactly the same thing like he said in Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. The Lord also said in the book of Romans 16 and 20, that the Lord shall bruise and tread down Satan under your feet in the name of Jesus. Now we come against those giants, and now we speak directly to them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are making it about God's fight. Thou, O God, art the one that dwelleth between the cherubims. Thou art the God, the very God, and thou art God alone and none else. Art thou not he that hath caught Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not he that dried the Red Sea and made a way for your children to pass through as on dry land? Art thou not he that delivered the lion and the bear to David's hand for he to smite them and to deliver the kid out of their mouth? Art thou not he that caused David to have the victory over the Goliath? Hallelujah. Well, thou art the God. And now, O Lord, see the threatenings of the situations that face your children. See the shame, see the reproach, and see all of these things that have come against us to ridicule the God that is in us. Now, O God, we turn these situations over to you. Fight for your name, O Lord, that all the people may know that there is a God that answereth prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I speak directly to giants. I speak directly to situations that look overwhelming. The God of Israel, the God of David, that gave victory over the lion and the bear, he will give victory over the Goliath as well. Now, the God that giving you victory over that lion in the past and that bear in the past, he also will slay this giant that's in front of you right now. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.